I've written a column for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
For Christians all over America, this is Holy Week. We remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So important.
If you allow any other voice as if it's on par with Scripture, then we're doomed as Christians. We can't possibly be faithful.
I would then become somebody responsible for consecrating a sacrament for people who are not under my pastoral authority, people who may not be Christians, and who would thereby be receiving the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner to their spiritual harm.
Make no mistake, if he rose at all, it was as his body. If the cell's dissolution did not reverse, the molecules reknit, the amino acids rekindle, the church will fall.
This is Alex in Northwest Indiana, and I am an Uber listener.
It is very difficult to admit when you are wrong. And it's very difficult to admit when you're wrong, when you've been wrong for years and consistently wrong for years. But here is a case where I believe I, for one, need to admit that I have been wrong, at least in part. For years and years, we've talked here on Issues, Etc. about this popular distinction made by Luther back in 1518 in a document called the Heidelberg Disputation, at least the first part of it, the distinction between the theologian of the cross and the theologian of glory. And for years, we taught that that meant that the only real way to understand God is through the cross, and that we can know nothing of God apart from the cross. And I guess it just took decades to realize that that cuts an awful lot of the Bible out, doesn't it? So maybe we need to reconsider what Luther meant and whether or not this distinction between glory and the cross is as essential to Lutheran theology as some of us, including myself, for years taught that it is. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, April the 20th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about rightly understanding Martin Luther's glory cross distinction. Pastor Christopher Jackson will be our guest. A little bit later, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller joins us for our series introducing the books of the Bible today. It's the book of Titus. Then it's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll take your email, talk back at issuesetc.org and respond to it, and to your comments at 618-223-8382. Joining us to rightly understand Martin Luther's glory cross distinction, Pastor Christopher Jackson. He's pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church and St. John's Lutheran Church in northeastern Wisconsin, adjunct instructor at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and author of a recent column for Pro Ecclesia titled Luther's Theologian of the Cross and Theologian of Glory Distinction Reconsidered. Christopher, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Todd.
When did Martin Luther first use these terms, Theologian of Glory and Theologian of the Cross?
Yeah, I think we can discern a little bit of him using these terms a little bit even before this, but certainly most famously in the Heidelberg Disputation of 1518 is where he utilized these distinctions in order to drive forward his arguments that he was making at that time with regards to conversion and the necessity of God to turn the human heart towards him.
What exactly was he arguing against?
Okay, so he was arguing against two things. First of all, he was arguing against the idea of congruent merit. So there was this idea in medieval scholasticism that man could have merit before God by virtue of his own abilities, piety, and so on, even apart from conversion and apart from faith, even. And so Luther is arguing against that particular perspective in the Heidelberg Disputation, as I read it, that he's trying to argue that, no, in fact, man, apart from conversion, his heart is entirely hardened against God, and therefore even his best works are not meritorious before God, apart from Christ, and it is necessary for God to convert man, to turn his heart towards him through the work of Christ.
Why do you want to address what you call the contemporary appropriation of the glory cross distinction?
Yeah, great question. So one thing I just want to make clear here, as Lutherans, we take a lot of pride, as you say in your tagline for the show, being, I believe it's cross-centered and Christ-focused, right? And so I'm not arguing against that. Lutherans have always been focused upon the cross and have always proclaimed the necessity of salvation through the cross of Christ. And that's wonderful and good. Let this always be the case for us Lutherans. On the other hand, this particular distinction between the theologian of glory and the theologian of the cross that Luther promoted early in his career has been appropriated in modern times in ways that actually cut against what Luther was actually saying, and in my opinion have caused us contemporary Lutherans to really turn aside from some of our great gifts that we have received in the tradition, such as expositing the scriptures in a rich way. This distinction has been pressed in ways which really constrain theologians to have to force their theology into a very narrow framework, which cuts short, you know, how we could give more full vocalness to our preaching as we vocalize the fullness of the scriptural witness. And so I'd really like to get back to this particular way of doing Lutheran theology that's really comes out of a reading of the scriptures rather than imposing kind of strict categories upon the scriptures.
So what, as far as you can tell, did Luther really mean in making this distinction between the theologian of glory and the cross, and how has it been misinterpreted, especially in the 20th century?
Yeah, so what Luther originally meant is this, that there are two theologians of glory and theologians of the cross. Theologians of glory are really everyone who has not been converted, so by the grace of God. So God has shown himself in the world and has shown us his divine majesty and his righteousness and his goodness and his fatherly love. All of these are discernible in the world. The fallen human condition is such, however, that man, even though he's able to perceive these things, nonetheless strays, nonetheless turns away from God. So Luther, when he proposed this, he was really, well, as the modern musicians call it, riffing on Romans 1, verse 20, which talks about how the pagans, they actually perceived God's invisible qualities. But even though they perceived God's invisible qualities, instead of worshiping the true God, worshiping the Creator, instead they ended up worshiping the creature in their idolatry. And that's all of our circumstance in our sin, is that even though we ought to know who God is and worship and adore him appropriately, in our sinfulness, we don't worship him. And this just shows how foolish we are, that we have turned astray nonetheless. And so that's the theologian of glory on the one hand. On the other hand, theologians of the cross are those who, as Luther says in the Heidelberg Disputation, call a thing what it is. So they acknowledge the true God. They acknowledge his glory, his goodness. But they do this only because of God's grace and his mercy in calling them to faith in him. Now, the way that this has been, in my interpretation, misapplied in contemporary days is that contemporary interpreters have actually turned this on its head. So a name out there, for example, very often cited with regards to the distinction between the theologian of the cross and theologian of glory, as a theologian by the name of Gerhard Fürth. And he goes to great lengths to say that what Luther was actually saying is that we can't know anything about God from creation, and that really all we can know about God derives from the cross. And that sounds pious, right? That kind of pricks our Lutheran ears, because we love the cross, obviously. We love talking about the cross and expounding the cross. But what this really does is, the problem that I see this doing is that this makes the law of God into something which is relativistic. So, again, going back to the early chapters of Romans, Paul talks about one of the things that we can know about God from the created realm is his law. This is something that our hearts testify to us about and our consciences as well. But if that's the case, if we can't really know God from who God is from the created order, then the law, the testimony of God's law and upon our consciences and our hearts, it might tell us something about ourselves as condemned, unrighteous, you know, deserving God's wrath and so on, but it doesn't actually tell us much about God. So God's law doesn't tell us about God's mind or God's heart or God's character. And thus, the law becomes relativized. The law just becomes whatever accuses us, whatever pricks our consciences, that might be the law. And that might be the Decalogue, that might be the Ten Commandments, but it could be any other variety of things. And so, because of this, the law no longer holds a normative hold on the life of the Christian, which I think is very consistent with a lot of this theology that depends upon this distinction, the contemporary misunderstanding of this distinction. You know, a lot of the theologians who hold to this also don't believe in a third use of the law, a guiding use of the law, and don't believe that that's an appropriate place for the law in the life of the church.
Pastor Christopher Jackson is our guest. We're talking about rightly understanding Martin Luther's glory cross distinction. When we come back, what is the textual basis in Luther's writings, in the Orthodox Lutheran theologians, and in the Lutheran confessions for this distinction?
Prayers for anxiety, assurance, forgiveness, plagues, sickness. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April contains more than 500 prayers that cover almost any situation. It's titled Lutheran Prayer Companion. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or find out more and purchase Lutheran Prayer Companion by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April, Lutheran Prayer Companion.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin, is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving Word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at mountziongreenfield.org.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Your church Easter egg hunt has been canceled. But that doesn't mean there aren't wonderful treasures to be discovered at Ad Crucem. Celebrate your child's confirmation with Lutheran certificates, necklaces, and memory boxes, and wish all your loved ones a joyous, if socially distanced, Eastertide with our Christ-focused greeting cards. Put what you believe, teach, and confess on display with our Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, and Athanasian Creed. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Pastor Christopher Jackson about a right understanding of Martin Luther's glory cross distinction. So, Christopher, is there a textual basis in Luther's writings, in the later Orthodox Lutheran theologians, but especially in the Lutheran confessions themselves, for this glory cross distinction?
Yeah, not much at all. Okay, so this is one of the more confounding things about why this has become such a popular distinction over the last basically 100 years, is that outside of the Heidelberg Disputation, there is almost no explicit referencing to this distinction in any Lutheran writer, including Luther himself. He does use the term theology of the cross a little bit later on in his writings once, but there he seems to be talking less about God's revelation about himself, and he's talking more about bearing the cross. And that's something that we certainly do find quite a bit in all Lutheran writers, is discussion of bearing the cross in our Christian life, which is something different. This is more about the cross and the sacrifice of Christ showing forth in Christian lives, which resemble that sacrificialness, okay? But it's not this same idea about how God reveals himself that some of these modern interpreters would want us to see it. And so we do see him use that term once later on in his ministry, but it's in a totally different context. Other than this, we see, as I said, many theologians talking about bearing the cross. We see them talking about the cross of Christ and the atoning work of Jesus, obviously. But this explicit distinction between the theologian of the cross and glory or the theology of the cross and glory, we don't find it really in any of Luther's writings outside of 1518. We don't find it in the Lutheran confessions. We don't find it in the works of the confessional revival of the 19th century and people like Leha or Walther. It just simply disappears until about the 1920s in the writings of a man by the name of Walter von Loewenwitsch.
So how is it that this contemporary misunderstanding of the glory cross distinction, how has it become essentially a new theological norm?
This idea was sort of mined by a German theologian by the name of von Loewenwitsch, and he published a book on the topic back in the 20s. It became very popular, and the idea was readily picked up on by many theologians for a lot of reasons. So something that was happening in the early 20th century is that there was this great revival of interest in Lutheran identity and Luther studies in particular. And there was this desire to be kind of distinctively Lutheran, which, you know, we might appreciate, but a desire to do so without resorting to kind of cold, what people would consider like a cold confessionalism or something like this. So this became a really readily available means to distinguish Lutheran theology as distinctively Lutheran without kind of a confessionalist kind of perspective. And so it became very popular because of this and has been popularized by many writers, you know, some even within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, most of whom I think are, you know, arguing with goodwill and wanting to be faithful to our teachings, but I think sort of missing some of the fundamental problems there. So it's become very popular within Lutheranism, and not only within Lutheranism. I mean, I've seen Presbyterians make use of the distinction. I've seen theological liberals really like it, theological conservatives, a very popular idea, because it is a distinctive thing. It is a way to distinguish oneself versus, you know, other theological movements. And there's certainly an appeal to it because it is a very sort of pious-sounding idea, which I'll readily admit.
So how has this misunderstanding, this 20th century misunderstanding of the glory cross distinction, tended to cast the biblical term glory in a uniformly negative light?
Yeah, so this is something that is sort of odd to me. So, as I said, this is not an idea which other Lutherans readily adopted until the 20th century. I think part of that is because glory, when it relates to Christians and God in the Bible, is universally a good thing. So, you know, let's just kind of talk about how glory is used in the New Testament, and just the New Testament alone, I mean, let alone the Old Testament. In the Synoptic Gospels, it typically is used to talk about the second coming of Christ. Very often is the most often way it's used in the Synoptic Gospels, which, as Christians, we want Jesus to come, right? We pray, come, Lord Jesus. In John, it's John, in his very characteristic way, uses it in this amazingly, you know, simple but at the same time complex way, where it's the glory shared, given from the Father to the Son in eternity, and shown forth in the self-giving sacrifice of Christ on the cross, which also then shows forth in the lives of Christians as they lead lives of self-sacrifice and mutual service as well. In Paul talks about it does use it readily to talk about Christians, and he talks about how we as Christians are changing from one degree of glory to the next as God progressively conforms us to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, and his self-giving love. Paul also talks about Christians as those who desire glory, who desire to reflect the self-giving love of Christ and that glory more and more in their lives. So it's uniformly a good thing. So, but here's the thing, if we cast glory as sort of the boogeyman here, you know, as like being a theologian of glory is a bad thing, or theology of glory is a bad thing in respect to being a theologian of the cross or a theology of glory, that's not a distinction that the scriptures make. And actually, if anything, we should all aspire in that scriptural sense to be theologians of glory and aspire to glory and desire for the glory of Christ to show forth in our lives. So, you know, I think that some people might object to this and say, well, are you saying that Luther made a mistake in terms of, his rhetoric in the Heidelberg Disputation? I'm not willing maybe to go quite that far, as much as to say that this distinction that he makes there has certainly been pressed far beyond what he would have ever intended.
Pastor Christopher Jackson is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church and St. John's Lutheran Church in northeastern Wisconsin. He's adjunct instructor at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and author of a recent column for Pro Ecclesia titled Luther's Theologian of the Cross and Theologian of Glory Distinction Reconsidered. You can read it on the Talk On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Christopher, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is with us on the other side of the break. Our series, Introducing the Books of the Bible, continues with the book of Titus.
I've written a column for the Latest Issues Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're beginning to wrap up our journey through Hebrews. The Lord's discipline, striving for holiness, you have come to Mount Zion, exhortations, and Jesus Christ the same forever. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Ascension Lutheran, Niles, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Marshall, Minnesota. Hope Lutheran, Spokane Valley, Washington. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. Our Savior Lutheran, Louisville, Kentucky. Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. St. John Lutheran, New Berlin, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, International Falls, Minnesota. And Trinity Lutheran, Okmulgee, Oklahoma. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.